Our study tonight out of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1-8, countering lawsuits between believers and secular courts. Functioning by means of the sin nature, what we term carnality, is often a challenge in today's churches. 1 Corinthians was written to carnal believers, and 1 Corinthians 6, 1-8 shows how the body of the church is to counter the practice of believers bringing lawsuits against one another in secular courts. I'd like to read the passage, and then we'll look at it tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1-8. Dare any of you, having a matter, that would be a legal matter, against one another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world, and that the world shall be judged by you? Are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know you not that we shall judge angels? How much more the things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak this to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren, but brother goes to law with brother, and that before unbelievers? Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take the wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, but you do wrong and defraud in that your brethren. All right, this is a very powerful passage. Due to the negative way that bringing lawsuits between believers before the courts, before the lost, hurts their testimony, Paul used very strong language in asking, dare. The Hebrew, the Greek word is tomao, which means dare. Do you have the chutzpah, or so forth? Any of you who has a legal matter with another, to take it before the unrighteous for judgment and not before the saints. This incidentally demonstrates that if there is a legal wrong that has occurred between believers in the body, the ideal thing is for those believers to come before the church and to have it dealt with. Now, we don't have a system that I know of that deals with this. Normally people would probably bring it to the church board, but I don't know if the church board would want to bring it before the body or handle it themselves. That's something that we might want to pursue someday. But ideally, it should be handled by believers instead of going to legal courts. The principle is you never air your laundry, your dirty laundry, before the unsaved. Take care of your own laundry within the house, get it washed up, and so forth. The unsaved have enough reasons, they think, to reject Christ. We don't need to add to it. So it's very interesting. Well, Paul gave two major reasons why the saints were the proper judges in these disputes in verses 2 and 3. First of all, we believers will one day judge the world, so we should judge the smallest matters now. That's intriguing. When we come back with the Lord Jesus Christ at the second coming of Christ, we're going to be ruling and reigning with him. We will be put on thrones, and we will be judging people in the world. We'll be judges. I don't understand what that will be. I don't know if there are specific jurisdictions or not, but we will be judging. And Paul's point is very powerful. If we're going to be judging the world, we at least should be able to take care of small matters between ourselves now. We shouldn't have to go to a legal court. Second, and this is the only passage in Scripture where this appears, we will one day judge angels. That's remarkable. We don't know about that from any other passage, but only here. We will judge angels someday, higher created beings than we currently are. Now, someday when we're in our glorified bodies and likened unto the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh in his glorified body, we'll be higher than the angels. But right now, we're actually created as beings that are lower than the angels, but we are going to be judging them. So Paul says, good grief, you're going to be judging angels, higher created beings of what you are now. You ought to be able to take care of this amongst yourselves. So we need to be equipped by God. We are equipped by God, his Holy Spirit, to be able to judge matters of this life. Paul then supplied practical advice in solving this problem in verses 4 to 8. First of all, verse 4. With biting irony, he urged his readers to take legal disputes between believers that pertain to this life and set up at least the least of believers in the church to rule them in settling them. Now, he's speaking ironically, because later on he's going to indicate that no, I'm not really telling you to go after the least, but he said, you would be better off, the implication is you're better off taking the least brother in the church and setting up as a judge than going before unsaved magistrates. Another, he's saying, shame on you. And Paul wrote this to shame them indeed in verse 5, not meaning that they were actually to set up the least of them to judge, but that they were to select someone in their midst who had the wisdom to make an upright ruling. And as it was, one brother in Christ was suing another brother before unsaved judges, a terrible situation, both as to the church's testimony and in view of the actual capability of the local church. The local church, see, people in the local church are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And if people are controlled and influenced by the Holy Spirit, they'll make proper decisions. So the last thing that we should be doing is going before unsaved magistrates who don't have the Holy Spirit at all. Shame on us. That's what Paul is saying. Well, this ungodly practice was causing the Corinthian believers involved in the lawsuits already to suffer utter defeat. The word etema is not the word that really says that you're utterly at fault. It's actually you're suffering utter defeat. So that they would actually be better before the Lord to let themselves be defrauded. Apostereste, that's a passive voice of apostero. You're better off letting yourself be defrauded by the other party in the lawsuit versus pressing the charge against him before unsaved magistrates. In other words, in letting oneself be defrauded in such a case, he loses only in terms of this life, but not his reward from God in eternity for righteousness. I'll never forget, I was talking with a Christian man one time. It had been many years since this had happened, but another Christian had gypped him out of $7,000. And this has happened 10 years before, and he was still seething mad over this. And I was thinking, you know, why don't you just put a period and move on? Because it had made him very, very careful with his money. He'd learned through that. And so he was actually doing very, very well. And I was thinking, you know, if you're losing $7,000, but it's going to make you a really smart, shrewd, and a careful businessman so that you're going to do well, really, that's a pretty good investment. I mean, it bites at you. But $7,000 is not that really that much to lose if it's going to make you really careful in your business dealings. But I shared with him, I told this Christian man, he was a man in the church that I pastored one time, I said, why don't you just put a period and move on? You're not going to get that money back from that Christian. He's known for being someone who gyps other people. So why don't you just learn from that and look what it's done. It's made you an excellent businessman as it is. So why don't you put a period, just move on. And that's what Paul is saying here. You're better off to suffer the defrauding rather than to take this case in front of unsaved people and hurt the testimony. Because guess what? The rapture is going to occur, and all the money and all the resources that we have are left behind. The only thing we take with us is our record and what we've done for the Lord. So the point is, why don't we just, you know, value the things of eternity ahead, value doing that which is right, and put that ahead of the resources, and then just put a period and move on. As it was, the Corinthians did wrong in hurting their testimony and pressing the lawsuits. They defrauded the church of its good testimony in the process, and that only hurt the believers themselves. That's what Paul is saying in verse 8. Nay, you do wrong and you defraud, and that's your brethren. Now, there would have been a time when I would have stopped the message at this point, but I'm not going to do that. I've been pastoring now for 40 years, and there are too many cases that I've known where people have been really, really badly wronged because we have a unique situation that occurs today. The Apostle Paul predicted in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 and 2, and verse 4a, and we'll look at this. He predicted that in the latter days of church history, men would become abusive, and among their vices would be their acting in treacherous ways toward one another. Let me look at that passage because this is very important, and we have to respond according to this. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, this know that in the last days perilous, and a better word would be terrible times, shall come. For men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, slanderous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, that means lacking self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, that, the word traitors, the first part of verse 4, actually means that they would be treacherous. I know of situations and have known of situations where believers know that other Christians know that it's wrong for them to sue. So they will plan a course of action where they will take advantage of another Christian, counting on the fact that that Christian won't sue them in return, and take advantage of them with the money and take the money and run. And I've had to deal with this on occasion where believers come to me and they say, wait a minute, I thought this was, aren't we supposed to take care of this in front of the church, and the person is now long gone, kind of a thing. And I said, yep, they're supposed to, but the only way you can stop them now is to sue them, but you're not supposed to do that, and this person knew that. So in view of the fact that people are going to be like this, since we have learned from studying Revelation 3, 14 to 22 in its context that we are in the latter era of church history, and we have witnessed that some professing Christians aware of Scripture's prohibition against suing other believers and that the church has no legal power over them, we have learned that they will intentionally and treacherously defraud other believers, confident that the wrong believers won't sue them in response. I know of a situation where there was a gypping that occurred. It was a tune of about $40,000. Okay? And the Christian man came to me, the one who was wrong, just aghast. And so I thought, you know, the next time I teach on this passage, I'm going to include this section because it's really important. Well, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5 tells us to guard ourselves by shrinking back or withdrawing from such people. You notice verse 5, Paul continues with his list there of 2 Timothy 3, 5, having a form of godliness but denying the power from thereof. From such, turn away. The word turn away is in the middle voice. And in the middle voice means for your benefit, for your protection, shrink away from them as far as you need to. So God wants us to protect ourselves. So how can we protect ourselves from people like this? A, we should check the record of the dealings of professing believers before we do business with them. Now, I never thought that I would say that or have to say that, but unfortunately we have to. If it's a believer, I would check the person's reputation. What kind of business dealings do they have with other people? If you don't know of this professing believer's dealings with someone else, if I were you, I would be very, very careful. You know, now, even if they have a license and they're approved and everything, if they know that you're not going to sue them if they wrong you, they could still take advantage of you. So check their records of dealings with professing believers. Then, and this is a passage that is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, we should work as independently as we can for our own welfare. In 1 Thessalonians 4:11, Paul says, make it or give diligence, the King James says, study to be quiet, but give diligence to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly towards them that are without, that's to have a good testimony with the unsaved, and that you may have lack of nothing. I always encourage people, work as independently as you can. Try, if you're in a job where you're earning money, seek to make your income as dependent upon your work and your work alone, not somebody else's where you can get gypped. Now, in a business where we're working for someone else, we can't really do that. But one thing I always recommend, and I've heard Dave Ramsey say this, never get into an equal partnership with anybody. Either work for that person or have people work for you. Have the one boss. Okay, then you know what's going on. If you get into an equal partnership, there are many, many things that can go wrong. And Dave Ramsey just has a long list of stories of things that have gone wrong that way. So work as independently as we can for our own welfare. This directive minimizes our risk of becoming vulnerable to those who may treacherously try to wrong us. If you're working independently, the other person can't hurt you because you have complete control of the work. C, functioning in financial independence may also mean requiring half of the payment for goods and services be paid before the work is done. and that all business transactions involve written records. Now, if the person's going to gyp you, he knows you're not going to take him to court. Written work records may not be that important. But it is a good practice in certain areas to require that half the payment for goods and services be paid up front, especially if it's a lot of money, you know. I've heard men tell me that some of the people who would gyp you the most are the little old ladies. You know, the ones that you would think that would treat you the best, they're the first ones to do a number. So you have to be very, very careful. And I'm sure there are a host of other ideas. If I were to talk to independent businessmen like Dave here tonight or others, they could probably, give me 14 other things that they've learned. And I would recommend following their advice because they're working in with the clientele that we have today. Now, Paul did not counter the believers suing an unsaved party, and I've been asked about this. If the unsaved is a wrongdoer, the lawsuit does not hurt the local church's testimony. So if you go to court against an unbeliever and the unbeliever is a rat and he's done really wrong, it's not going to hurt your testimony or the church's testimony to sue the unbeliever. So you can sue the unbeliever. There's no inhibition in Scripture against suing the unbeliever. But if it's a believer, and people have asked me, well, this person professes to be a Christian, but I'm not sure that he's saved. Well, if he's professing to be a Christian, if you sue him, that will create a problem in regards to the testimony because he professes to be a believer. That's the problem. Now, if he professes to be a believer and he's obviously an ex-con and everybody knows he's just pulling your leg, then that's a different situation. But the point is we need to protect our testimonies. So believers should not sue believers in secular courts, for it harms the local church's testimony and violates the whole principle that believers will one day judge the world and angels. A believer is wise not to deal with untrustworthy unbelievers. But if he's wronged by one, he must let himself be defrauded for God's eternal reward. Yeah, you might be gypped out of money now, or you might be, lose something in this life, but this life is not what's counting. The life to come is. So may we not go to court against fellow Christians, but let ourselves be defrauded for the sake of the Lord. May we live as wisely and as independently as we can to minimize exposure to treacherous people and lawsuits. Okay. I was in a country church one time where there were two farmers who had been cheated by professing Christians out of thousands of dollars, either of equipment or money and so forth, and both of them were struggling to deal with it. It was a small church. And they had to learn to leave it with God, even though there were professing believers who had done them wrong. And yet through the entire situation, both of these men had learned to be wiser. Sometimes if we allow ourselves to go ahead and be defrauded, it's an expensive lesson, but expensive lessons have a tendency of sticking. And when they stick, we'll never make that decision again. And if we never make that decision again, we're much further ahead down the long road. So it really is wise to put a period and move on with the situation. It's just not worth fighting. I'll never forget Judge Judy. I've said this before. There was a case of people who came. There were family members. And they were suing one another. And they hadn't talked to each other for years. And the difference was over $400. She said, shame on you, $400. You can live without $400. You should put a period and move on. And your family is split. One family is over here. They weren't even looking at each other. The other family is over here. So there's a real point here. If we're materialistic, this will eat at us. And it shouldn't. We need to put a period and move on. But God wants us to be wise. He doesn't want us to leave ourselves vulnerable unnecessarily to harm. And we're living in an era where there are harmful people out there. There are harmful professing Christians, I hate to say it. I'll never forget one man came to me and he says, Pastor, and he was talking about being wronged. Is this the only case like this, or have you known other cases? And I said, if you know where I'm sitting from, unfortunately this happens too often. so please watch yourself. And so this man, his mind was just real. He couldn't believe that this had happened. But we have to be very careful and live for the Lord. And there are a lot of wonderful believers. There are a lot of wonderful believers who love the Lord. But there are people who profess to know Christ. And we're living in that kind of an era where they're treacherous. They are. And we just have to protect ourselves.